Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
It's important for us to understand that the Bible teaches that man has this horrific sin problem. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, we see man's fall. And then we read, look at chapter 51 of the book of Psalms. And it's important that we understand this because many Christians have left what the Bible teaches about original sin and our inherent evil from the fall of Adam. And we cannot depart from orthodox teaching in regard to Christianity because we'll end up in a mess of problems. I'll go to 58. Go to 58, verse 3. Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from what? From the womb. These who speak lies go astray from where? From birth. They go astray from birth. Now back up to Psalm 51. Look what David says in verse 5 when he's repenting of his adultery with Bathsheba after he's confronted by the prophet Nathan. Behold, he says, I was brought forth in what? In iniquity and in sin, my mother what? Conceived me. Brothers and sisters, when we're conceived, man, we partake of the human race and we share that corporate solidarity of fallenness. Now, we also share the great potential of becoming children of God because of the grace of God, amen? So we're sinners, yes, but there's great hope. Because we have such a good God who, instead of wiping us out, wants to see us saved, amen? Wants to redeem us. But we can't really appreciate and understand the good news until we hear the bad news, amen? We can't appreciate Jesus as much as we should until we understand Moses, amen? And the law and how we're sinful and that we need God's grace in Jesus. The law came through Moses, it says in John 1, but grace and truth through Jesus. And go to Genesis chapter 6. This is after the fall took place in Genesis chapter 3. And then we read in Genesis chapter 6, this is right before the flood. This is God's assessment of the human race. Then the Lord saw, verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was what? Great on the earth. And that every what? Intent of the thoughts of his heart was what? Only evil continually. I mean, it doesn't just say evil. It says only evil continually. That was man reaching, you know, the worst aspects, the most depraved aspects of his base fallen nature, and God had to wipe man out with the flood. And it says in the last days, it'll be like it was in the days of who? Noah, that's where it's headed, folks. And this is the world that we live in, so it's important that you cling to Jesus, amen? Romans 3:12 says, all have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. 3:10 says that there's no one that seeks after God. Isaiah 64:6 says, we've all become like one who is unclean. I told you that word is used of leprosy, those who become unclean with leprosy. And all of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Remember a message I did a few weeks ago on the wedding garments and how they need garments that were white, right? But this says all of our righteousness is like what? Filthy garments. Do you remember what the word garment is right there? Filthy garments is from a word that means what? Menstrual rags. It got even worse. Do you remember I went to Joshua, the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3, and Satan was there accusing him because he had filthy garments on, but the word filthy there isn't used in menstrual cloths. It gets even worse. The word excrement's used. The word for excrement, that they were filthy, and it's a word used for human excrement. And it's like, wow, that's how our sin is before God. And it's like, why does God use those pictures? And by the way, if you come to Blessed Hope, you get it real, okay? We don't sugarcoat, amen? And we better not sugarcoat. We need to know who we are and how we need Jesus, amen? But when we think about it, why? And I mentioned briefly, I think in like 8 seconds, it's because those things come from within the human being. They come from within and they come out, and they are a picture of our sinful nature. Jesus' blood is the only blood that's pure, amen? Listen to what Jesus said about the human heart. When they were all upset because Jesus' disciples were eating out in the fields without washing their hands. Oh, they made this big deal about, they didn't go through this ritual, you know, of cleaning their hands. And Jesus said that, he said in chapter 7, check this out, guys, verse 20 through 23. That which proceeds out of the man is that what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Now, bodily fluids are not evil in and of themselves. They're a picture of our inner being. But it's those wicked things in our hearts that come out that are sinful before God. The Bible talks about the stench of man's sin reaching the high heavens. In Revelation, before God judges the entire planet, he's actually in the process of judging them at that time, but then he's about ready to bring his final judgment. We have to realize we can't go to heaven how we are. We need to be forgiven, amen? We need to be changed. Remember Jeremiah 17:9? That's a scripture you might commit to memory. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Some translations, desperately sick. Who can know it? Verse 10 goes on to say that God looks into the heart. He alone can see the heart. We can't see the Adamanza's heart. They could pray psychologist after psychologist and psychiatrist after psychiatrist trying to get people to understand Adamanza. And guess what? The Bible's already given us the verdict. We're all sinners, man. He was a terrible sinner. But only God can see the depths of that depravity. Jesus talked about darkness and the eye being full of darkness. And he said, how great is that darkness? Only the Lord only can tell. We want Jesus to take away our darkness, amen? We want him to give us new hearts, new lives. The Bible says in Romans 8:7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So the wicked person, apart from the grace of Christ, does not submit to God's law. And indeed, he what? Cannot. Without God's grace intervening in a sinner's life, they're going to continue to go astray. That's why it's important to pray for the lost, amen? That's why it's important to pray before you go witnessing, before you share the gospel. That's why it's important to pray in the morning when you wake up, Lord, help me to be a bright light. Help me when I'm out there at work or I'm out there wherever I'm at to shine the light of Jesus. Open hearts. Go ahead of me with your pre-regenerating grace, speaking to hearts before I even talk to people and set up divine appointments. Amen? And I believe we'll see more people come to Christ. How many of you know that when you pray for divine appointments, to me, it blows me away. Every time I pray that prayer, it seems like without fail, all of a sudden I'm talking to somebody about the Lord. But I know it's times when I'm not praying that prayer as much. I'm not talking to people about the Lord as much. So it's important because the Bible says if you ask anything in accordance with God's will, you have it. Is it God's will that we witness the lost? Yes. Is it God's will that we impact people? Yes. Is it God's will that the lost be saved? Yes. So we pray, God, use me. Now, that doesn't mean everyone you talk to is going to get saved, because God allows people in his permissive will is to allow people to make a choice, to say no to the gospel. We have to realize that those people who are outside of Christ, who don't know Christ, they can't do that which is good and please God. Did you know that? The Bible doesn't teach that the people that are not seeking God, that are doing their own thing, have so much good and so much bad, and they're really good people deep down, and they're really blessing God with a lot of the behavior. They just need some of their sin to be taken care of. No, all of our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. In fact, let me prove what I just said to you. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it's impossible to what? Please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. How about another one? Romans 14, 23. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. When the non-believer is doing things outside of faith and not trusting God, not wanting to follow God, even if he helps an old lady cross the street, guess what that is? It's not that that didn't bless the old lady. It's not that he genuinely wasn't trying to be nice. But in the midst of genuinely trying to be nice to the old lady, if he's not trusting God and refuses to turn to God, guess what he's doing? He's just another act of self-righteousness. I don't need you, God, to be righteous. I can, and that's what secular humanism is. And we can have our own moral code to ourselves, and we can have our own righteousness, and we don't need the righteousness that comes through Christ. And all the while, they're breaking God's moral law. The plowing of the wicked is sinful to God. I mean, if a wicked man might be plowing his fields, working really hard, but if he's in rebellion to God, all that plowing is for naught ultimately. It's for himself and his own kingdom, his own empire. So we have to be really, really careful with the world standard of righteousness, because the new world order coming under Antichrist will be based on a self-righteousness, that we can have a kingdom without God. We can define what is right and wrong. And there's a whole new morality being taught through the government schools and everything else that people are being set up for. Gay marriage is okay. Certain drugs are okay. Illicit drugs that were once considered bad can be legal. You know, they're even trying to, some of them are trying to even justify pedophilia. We've warned about that for a long time. I just got a call from Chris Pinto, who co-produced with me a movie we did called The Kinsey Syndrome, which was picked up by Judith Reisman. We interviewed her, and she offers it. And she was on Ronald Reagan's commission with the Justice Department to investigate the effect of pornography, like Playboy, Hustler, these magazines that were popular in those days in the 80s, Penthouse, and on pedophilia. And what she found, it astounded people. And a lot of people in the so-called free sex movement ridiculed her. Well, it's interesting that I just got a call from him, because he got a call from her because in Croatia, somebody was showing our film, parts of our film. And a lot of people in Croatia were outraged because Kinsey's been getting, you know, being trumpeted as this great sex teacher in Croatia, and it exposes him as promoting pedophilia and actually using pedophilia in his experiments with kids. Really terrible stuff. And you know what happened? That guy's being prosecuted. He showed parts of our film over there because he showed parts of our film exposing Kinsey. We need to give Reisman a written letter of permission that he's able to show our film. Of course he'd be able to show our film, but it was to keep him quiet. A lot of people started attacking him. There's a war, guys. Jesus said that which is highly esteemed among men, I think it's Luke 16:8. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Don't confuse man's false standard of righteousness in the popular world and in the media with God's. Now, man has a conscience that God has given him that reflects the moral law, but the Bible warns that man can have a defiled conscience, that man in 1 Timothy 4 can sear his conscience, and that man can build for himself his own form of righteousness. And that's what happens in the world system in the end, because good will be called evil and evil will be called good. And that's mentioned in Isaiah 5. That was happening in Isaiah's day in Isaiah chapter 5. However, we're told in the scripture in 2 Peter that just as a false prophet deceived the people then, false teachers will rise in our day. So the same thing's supposed to happen again, where they put light for darkness and darkness for light, call good evil and evil good. And it says, in the last days, terrible times will come, men will be lovers of self. It says, haters of that which is good.
You're listening to a message by pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings.
How many of you have heard of H.G. Wells? How many of you have heard of the movie War of the Worlds? That was H.G. Wells. The Time Machine, that was H.G. Wells. He wrote over 100 books. 25 of his books are still in print. I mention him because he was an apostle of Charles Darwin. He was taught by Thomas Huxley. Thomas Huxley was Darwin's bulldog. They call him Darwin's bulldog because Darwin was very sickly, wouldn't take the debate outside his home, dealt with a lot of maladies, hearing voices or audio sounds and feeling like he was walking on air and all kinds of stuff he was going through. So Huxley was his bulldog because he tenaciously held to what Darwin taught and tried to bring it to the public. And they, you know, he was a dark man with very dark hair and flashing eyes, and he really proliferated Darwin's doctrine of evolution. In fact, it's to Huxley that Darwin wrote a letter, and the postscript was thanking him for propagating the gospel, i.e., the devil's gospel, as Darwin called it. Oh, and it was and is the devil's gospel. But it's interesting because Huxley's student, one of his most famous students ever, was H.G. Wells. H.G. Wells talked about how Huxley had such an influence on him. In fact, he worked with Huxley's grandson, Julian Huxley. He had Aldous Huxley and Julius Huxley with his grandsons. And by the way, Julian Huxley was the head of a British humanist society, secular humanism. H.G. Wells wrote all these books popularizing the idea of evolution, science fiction books and books on science. And he was way into sexual immorality, felt the biblical warnings against sexual morality should not apply. We've all evolved. We're all evolved animals. He looked at man's human nature as not being fallen, but as something that's evolving. And he talked about a new world order coming. And he talked about eugenics. And he made Adolf Hitler look like a choir boy when it came to eugenics, because he felt like whether you were inferior black, white, as he called it, dirty white, and brown, and these different races he lists, should be put to death. And he wrote about this stuff, the weaker links and so forth in society, those who were, you know, incurable alcoholics should be put to death. He had all these different things. And then he was socialistic, even became communistic. He renounced some of these things later, by the way. And after World War I, he was pushing for this new world order. I mean, one of his movies, War of the Worlds, was just made with Tom Cruise just a few years ago. And he was pushing for this new world order and talking about how human nature is good, Christianity is wrong, our nature is not fallen. And listen to what he said. Listen to what H.G. Wells said. He wrote, "Can we doubt that presently our race will more than realize our boldest imaginations?" Remember Genesis? Remember the Tower of Babel? What will withhold them from doing what they imagine to do? "That it will achieve unity and peace, and that our children will live in a world made more splendid and lovely than any palace or garden that we know. Going on from strength to strength." You see, we're evolving to become something better, right? "In an ever-widening circle of achievement. What man has done, the little triumphs of this present state, are but the prelude to the things that man has yet to do." So wow, those are really glowing terms of humanity, right? Our kids are going to make a paradise on earth that blows away any palace, and for our children and everything else. Well, guess what? He writes 9 years later, after seeing humanity for a little while and looking out his window a little more. And this is from his book that he wrote not long before he died, called Mind at the End of Its Tether and of the Rope. "The cold-blooded massacres of the defenseless, the return of deliberate and organized torture, mental torment, and the fear of a world from which such things had seemed well nigh banished, has come near to breaking my spirit altogether. Homo sapiens, as he has been pleased to call himself, is played out." Wow. What happened to this grandiose picture of us making paradise on earth? Guess what happened? World War II. The very eugenics that he triumphed, similar eugenics were practiced on 6 million Jews and many other people. The world went to war, and he realized that humanity was evil, although he had no reference as to what that evil really was about. And he saw the depravity of the human nature. That's pretty heavy when you contrast those two quotes, isn't it? Seems like you're reading two totally different men, but what happened was he got 9 years more of experience. It's what happens when a lot of young people go to university and they're taught by their liberal professors that we're going to create a new world order and that man is the answer and that you don't need God and Dawkins is the answer. And when you look at Hitler killing, actually over 50 million people were killed in World War II. Over 100 million people by communists like Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot and others. And you know what? These men did not do what they did in a vacuum. They were influenced by others. Hitler was heavily influenced by Darwinism. What Nazism was called, Nazism means in German, National Socialism. And his book, Mein Kampf, was about the survival of the fittest and applied Darwinism, social Darwinism. He took it to another level. We are going to find out who the fittest are. Men like Hitler, men like H.G. Wells, they thought, we're going to decide. We're not going to let nature just decide who's the fittest. We're going to help nature out because guess what? We can return to some animals. So we're going to help make sure we just wipe out all the evil people. Well, who they would deem as evil. And H.G. Wells thought that a master scientific elite should run things to create this new world. But you know what? Over 100 million people killed because of ideologies that came from Darwin, that came from Nietzsche, who was influenced by this whole Superman mentality, the German philosopher who said God is dead and wanted to build a Superman race. Aleister Crowley wanted a Superman race. Hitler wanted a Superman race. We're going to help evolution out when it's really devolution. And you know what's crazy to think? You can draw a line from men like Stalin and Hitler back to Nietzsche and Darwin. Now you have men that are far beyond Darwin, like Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, militant atheist. And I wonder what kind of future leader these guys are influencing right now. Think about that one, guys. I wonder what men historians will draw a line from who kill mass people in the future back to Richard Dawkins because of his godless atheism. That's why we need Jesus, to save us from ourselves in our own sinful nature, in our own wickedness. Amen? See, man has two major problems. One, we stand guilty before God. Number two, not only are we guilty before God and deserve hell because of our sinfulness, we have a fallen human nature that is bent on sin and rebellion against God. What's the answer? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, amen? When Jesus died on the cross, what did he say? What's the Greek word that he yelled out that starts with a T? Anybody remember it? Tetelestai. What does tetelestai mean? It is finished, or it was an accounting term that meant what? Paid in full. He paid for all of our sins. We're in debt, man. We're guilty before God. We're in trouble. But he stepped in our place and he paid for all of our sins. That's a big deal, folks. He was buried, he rose again, conquered the grave. He became sin for us. In other words, he took the penalty of our sin. He didn't become a sinner, but he took the penalty of our sin that we could become the righteousness of God. There's the exchanged life. He took our penalty and we get his righteousness. He credited his righteousness to us. You see, when God looked in our spiritual bank account, what did he see? Were we in the red or not? Deep red, man. Then guess what happened? Now when God looks in, if we're trusting Jesus, paid in full, we're not in debt anymore. And guess what else is there? The righteousness of Christ. Because it says we've become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, amen? That he is our righteousness, amen? So now we are in Christ and not in Adam, if you're a believer, amen? Now you still have that fallen Adamic nature, but now you have the new Adamic nature from the second Adam, the resurrected Adam, amen? The second Adam, the last Adam, as he's called. That's glorious. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're partakers of the divine nature, and we can submit to God and allow the Holy Spirit to live through us. It's no longer we that live, but Christ in us, Christ through us, amen? And we can walk in the Spirit and be led of the Spirit, for as many as are led of the Spirit are the children of God, amen? So praise God, there's the answer, is Jesus.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
All right, it comes down to just one thing.